yeshivas, traditionally the patira and the yard sites of the Rosh Hashivas were marked with a shir and a shmuz. That's what was in the mir and tells and other yeshivas. We're fortunate to have with us today also Rabbi Einem is Memale Mokum and Talmud Muvak, Rabbi Rosenbaum, who will say later Divrei Musar and Divrei Zikaron. And we're going to say a share on a topic that Mitzad HaToychen, I think it has a shaykhus with the Nifta. And also I try to find a topic that'll be a little easier for someone not in Dinyanim to shtel tzu. So Yerotzen should be Lila Nishmas Mayreinu Rav Gedalia Ben Zeva Koyen Zeich Tzadik Nevracha. Let's start with the first thing, a little bit the Gemara inside. I think it's the second Amud. The Gemara starts in Babasa with learning Daf Ches Amud Beis. It says Tana Rabbanan Kupa Shal Tztoka Nigvis Bishnayim Umischalekis Bishleisha. A kupa of tztoka, you needed two people to collect it and three people to give it out. Nigvis Bishnayim. Why do you collect it with two people? Why do you have two people going out collecting? Anything, any type of srora means position of authority requires two, and they're a position of authority, and the Gemara will explain what the authority is. Since you have to make decisions who gets more money, who deserves more money, you need three people to pass like mominus. Tamchu is another type of tzedakah. There you have to have three people collecting because since it was food that they collected, they gave it out immediately, and therefore they needed to have the three on hand. Denigmar goes through some other differences. Tamchu you collect every day. Kupi you collect once a week. Tamchu you give for everybody, you give for ani olam, it's dispersed to anyone who comes. Kupas lani ir, kupas meant for the people in the city. Then the Braisa explains the different, they can change it. If people donated it for one of the two, for tamcha kupi, they're allowed to change it from one to the other. V'rashoyim b'nei ir lahasnos ala midos v'alashoyim v'ascha po'alim. People in a community is allowed to put standards and fix prices and to fix fines for disobeying it. Fine. So what interests us is the first part of the Braisa about the giving the tzedakah and the fact that it's considered a position of authority. So the Gemara says, Omamar, Enoisen Soros al Tzibur Pachis Mishnai. You need two people. How do you know that? The Gemara brings a pasuk ve'mikras azov. Skip down two or three lines. Maestra Rusa, what is exactly the authority? I mean, what's the authority? You walk around with a pushkin, yes, for tztaka. The Amar of Nachma Amar of Avul Lefisha Mimashkin Malat Tztaka, because you can actually take from a person a mashkon until he gives a tztaka. Vafilu be'erev Shabbos, even erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, a person has an excuse, he's busy. He'll give Sunday, he'll give Monday, he's busy taking care of things. So no, you can mashkin out tzedakas. Eini v'aksiv u'pakata kaloichatzav. It says you're not allowed to press somebody, even for dvar mitzvah, even for tzedakah. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take revenge from all those who oppress people, even if it's for tzedakah. V'ar mitzvah b'ak shmul v'ar mitzvah b'shvei d'rav afil agav tzedakah. So the Gemara answers, loy kasha ho de amid ho loy amid. It depends if the person can afford to give it and he's just not willing to give it, or the person can't afford to give it. Ki ha de Rava, akfil Rav Nosson ba'ami. Rava forced Rav Nosson ba'ami to give money. V'shakam le arba me'ezuzi, which is a tremendously big amount, let's stock it. Fine. That's the entire piece of Gemara. That interests us. So the Gemara says there's an aspect of collecting tzedakah which is done forcefully. The Gemara focuses on the fact that you can be mamashkin for tzedakah. If a person is not willing to give tzedakah, you can appropriate property and hold it until the person gives it. And that's why you need two people. The Achronim ask the kash in two different ways, almost opposite ways, but it's the same idea. Normally you need when you're forcing somebody to do something, kfir is either bezdin, which means you would need three people to do that, or once bezdin decided, in all areas, you would then have one person, a shlich bezdin, do it. We don't find two, we find shlich bezdin is one. So either one or three. Where does two come in exactly? That's a kasha that the Chronim ask over here. Where did we come up with the number two? And we're going to see, actually the Rambam doesn't seem to say that. We'll see the Rambam in a second. Taisus over here asks a kasha. Taisus asks a kasha that why do you have the ability to force somebody to give tzedakah? So Taisus's understanding is that it's based on a halacha that you can force anyone to do a mitzvah's essay. Bezdin has the ability, and again, it's a bezdin halacha, pashtus, that they can force people to be mekayim a mitzvah's essay using whatever force is necessary to get the person to do it. On which Taisus has a problem that our tzedakah doesn't fit that criteria, because you need to have something that there's no matan schar b'tzidon. The pasuk can't include the schar, and therefore Taisus has a kasha. So how could you force on tzedakah? Taisus has two or three terutzim here. He has a slight variation someplace else. Whether or not Besdin has the ability to, but they're not obligated to, whether there's a lav there also makes a difference. But be it as it may, Taisus says that the halacha of forcing somebody to give tzedakah, which the Gemara says you can, is based on the fact that giving tzedakah is a mitzvah's essay, and being that it's a mitzvah's essay, it falls under the general category of forcing people to become a mitzvah's essay. That's how Taisus understood the sugya, obviously. The Rambam, let's take a look at the last piece, the very, very last one we have here. It says the end of Hilchis Nachlis, the end of Yerusha, Perik Yud Aleph, Halach Yud Aleph. The Rambam says, Umi shenishtate oy shenischaresh. Somebody who lost his mind, bezdin poiskim alof tzedakah mayaroyim. So a person has a lot of money, person is very wealthy or whatever it is, he has means. He's unfortunately no longer able to make decisions. So Bezdin actually goes and decides, and Bezdin gives tzedakah on his behalf. In a sense, that's forcing the person. The person has no say, no das, and you're taking it bal karcha. So the Ktzais asks a question here. And it's the case of Mishnah, really, when explaining the Rambam. The Rambam is based on a Gemara, but the Gemara is very not clear that the Pshat should be like the Rambam. The Gemara is complicated, I'm not going to go into it, but the Rambam is quoting a Gemara, but he's learning it in a way that command only the Rambam learns. And the case of Mishnah already has the problem. On what basis are you forcing the person to give it? He's pater from mitzvahs. Just like a person who is a chassadeya, a person who lost his mind and halachically does not have the does not fall under the category of baradas. Would we force him to put on tefillin? Would we force him to eat matzah? No, he has no chiyuv. So why would we force him to give tzedakah? If forcing somebody to give tzedakah is built on the fact that you force people to do mitzvahs, and tzedakah is one of those mitzvahs, it couldn't be possible that somebody who's not a bar chiyuva would be forced to give tzedakah. So the Kesef Mishnah hints at it, and the Ktzayis HaChoshim develops it, and talks about it by Riches. They come up with a different approach as to what the kfir is in our sugya, what it's built on, and b'melo, how the Rambam learned it. They say like this, that when the Torah set up tzedakah, the Torah set it up in a very different way. It's not like a mitzvah, like lulav and esrig. The mitzvah is to go and to take a lulav and esrig and to shake it. The mitzvah of tzedakah is just like if you damage somebody, you owe the person for the damage you've done. Just like if you borrowed money, you owe the money. If you bought something, you owe what you agreed to. It's a chov. The Torah set up hilchis tzedakah as a chov. You owe X percent to aniyim, and therefore there is what's called a shibud nechasim. It's automatically, it's as if within your assets there's 10% that really belongs to the aniyim, and on that basis Bezdin goes and collects. So there's nothing to do with the mitzvah. And even if the person is not a bar das and he can't be mekayim mitzvahs, you're collecting on behalf of the other person. Just like, imagine a person had bought something when he was a bar chiyuva. And so a person bought a car and he made a kinyan and the psikah sum was $10,000. And then the person becomes a bar das. If there was a shibud nechasim, Bezdin goes in and collects the chov that's there. That's what Bezdin does. So the same thing is here. That's how the Ketzayis Mishnah really says it, and the Ketzayis develops it, and he goes back and forth on it, and so on. It's not at all pashut for two reasons. First of all, there's a technical reason. There's something called mamon shein logovim. It's not. It's stoker is a nebulous chov. There's no real bal chov. So in all cases, it's not clear there could be gvia. And secondly, Rav Chani has a kasha. Even if you say the Torah set it up as a chov, that would make sense if the person had these assets when he was bardas. There's a mitzvah on him, and the Torah translates the mitzvah as a chov. But to say that it's a blind chov for someone who's bechlan not a bar chiyuva, that can't be. In other words, if the person was a cut and he has assets, and it's a Rambam before, it's not chal. It's not a shibud that's chal automatically. It's chal mikoch, the mitzvah. The Torah says people were chayiv in tzedakah. It's set up with a shibud. And therefore, he asks on the Ketzayis and he feels you can't learn like that in the Rambam. So we have a Rambam that seems to be learning not like Tosfos, and we need to understand where this inyan of kfiya and comes in, what's the pshat nesrur, and so on. So let's take a look at the Rambam. We're going to have one more problem in the Rambam by us, and then we'll try to get a sense for it. Take a look on Shadnami page. It's the second page on the second side. It's 268. This is the Rambam Matnas Aniyim Perek Zayin. It says, Misha'ena roitz alitein staka, o sheyitein me'at masheroiloi. If a person doesn't want to give staka, or he gives less than what he should be giving, al pidin, Bezdin kofin also. Bezdin is kofin, makin also makas mardis, achiyitein masham dolitein. And you can give makas mardis until the person gives what we think he ought to give. You can be yored l'nechasav and mashan l'atztaka fel avishabasas. Now, the Rambam is coming off our Gemara. It's pretty clear. But one second. Our Gemara says you need two people for the kfir. And that's why it's called srara. What does the Rambam say over here? How many people are kofir? What does it say over here? Bezdin. Bezdin is kofir. So we're talking about three people with a tzur of a bezdin. So where do we get two people? And the Rambam himself also says on the next page, he says the same gemara of two people as srara. He says you have two people for collecting it. Hakupa ein nikbis al bishnayim shein oisa srara tzibu b'mam pachs mishnayim. So the Rambam himself brings out gemara. He says the idea of srara of two, and yet when the Rambam talks about the critical piece of what is the srara, the Rambam talks about a bezdin being kofer. Bezdin kofer, some makas maris. Very, very typical. I mean, it's a bezdin. So how does the Rambam understand our Gemara? When the Gemara says, why do you need two? And the Rambam quotes it, you need two for srara. And he says, al smimashkinim, so what is it? And if it's a shlech bezdin, I don't know. I mean, they seem to understand shlech bezdin could be one. It's not, we haven't found other areas. So I'd like to try to learn up the Rambam and understand it a little bit differently. Let's take, I want to make the following point. And we'll try to see it in the context of the Rambam himself, how he addresses it. But let's start with, there's a halacha in Yonei Tzedakah that it's in the Amud before, it's a Gemara Ksubis. It says that the chiyuv of Tzedakah, how much do you have to give? So one amount, the first amount that's listed is de machsoro, as much as the ani might be missing. And the Gemara says, well, what's the limit? The Gemara says, there's no limit. It says, even a sus lirkavalov, even if the person has a horse and somebody running in front of him, and so on and so forth, it doesn't make a difference. So the Ramah, and the Beis Yosef really, say in Hilchas Tzedakah, in Simrei Shnun, that the halacha of de machsoro, of giving somebody de machsoro, is only applicable for the tzibur. In other words, any single person has no chiyuv to give the other de machsoro. He might say it in terms of, it also says if somebody's a ashe muflag, but generally speaking, there is no chiyuv on the yachas. What I want to get from this is not the p'tur on the yachid, but the Ramah is saying that there's a chiyuv on a tzibur of tzedakah as well. In other words, a tzibur has to make sure people have. Two, it says in Gemara and Sanhedrin, and the Goyen brings it as a mocker for Ramah in a second. The Gemara says that Talmud Chacham is not all live in a city that doesn't have a bezin, doesn't have a gabay tzedakah, doesn't have a tzedakah. What's the pshat? The teretz is because the mashal, the halacha of dinin, the halacha that shayte v'shaytrim, is a halacha on a tzibur. It's a tzibur like type of halacha. No yochid can make every yochid does his share, but the tzibur is mutal on the tzibur. So a talmid chacham to belong to a tzibur that's not be mekayim its duties is a pagam. Either it's a place that you shouldn't live because mitzad the tzibur it's not good or talmid chacham shouldn't associate with it, whatever. But the mitzias of the where the tzibur is not fulfilling or capable of its obligation is a chisar. A gabay tzedaka is listed as one of those. So just like but the mishpat and but the dinim. The sheftim and sheitrim is a halacha on the tzibur, and so too there's an element of tzedakah that's mutal on the tzibur as a tzibudik halacha. A third place, and let's look at the Rambam himself. Let's see the Rambam. The Rambam is the way he sets up his halachas is a halacha itself. Let's take a look at the first amid the Rambam. Kuf lamed aleph. Mitzvahs essay litain stokel aniyim kifima sheroi le'oni. There's a mitzvahs essay to give to aniyim. Emoisi ara noisim ha-segis. Shinema pasir titar siotcha v'nemer sakta v'gayir teisham and so on. There's a mitzvah to give to a person, to an ani, whatever if the person needs, if he can fulfill it. V'chol aroi ani, and he goes through all the halachis. On Amud Beis over here, he says, mishen aroi to litain stokel, a person, an individual, who doesn't want to give tzedakah, or he gives a shitin me'at masheroiloi, same Ram we saw before, best in koifes and maximaris. Perek Zion deals with the mitzvah's essay of nasan titain, that's mutal on every single person in Klal Yisrael. Every person has a chiyuv, he has to give it, and it's like any other essay. What he does with Tayskach, I don't know, but al kaponim, that's that halacha. Perek Chesi deals with pratim of who gets first and so on. Now Perek Tes, next Rambam. A new halacha. Kol ir sheyesh bo Yisrael. A city that has Yisrael there. Chayovin lahamoid mem gaboy itztoka. An shoshim yedurim v'demonim shumachzirin l'omer shabbos avshaz g'nach v'echad. Perek Tes deals with this specific halacha. There's a din on the tzibur that the tzibur needs to daige for its aniyim. It's migidre hilchas tzedakah that a tzibur has that chiyuv, and b'meila they're mechuyev to set up a system for collecting tzedakah. The Goyen says, he says Shacharich, but it's the Rambam's the Mokka for the Shacharich. He says he takes it from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. It says you're not allowed to live in a city that doesn't have Gabayit Staka. Bal Korchach, there's a din on the city to have. And the Rambam says, take a look at Halacha Gimel. He says, "Me'olam le'ra'ino v'le'shamainu b'kohol mi'Yisrael shein l'kupa shal tzedakah." I never heard a kehil in Klal Yisrael doesn't kupa shal tzedakah. Tamchui, however, is something that's totally makom. It's unwieldy. The food sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. V'aminah gapashra yoyim shu gaboya kupa machzim chol yoyim mechalgim shazay shabbos. So he says the minig is kupa tzedakah today. In other words, in the details of how kupa shal tzedakah will work and how a tamchu will work, that's up to each place, but that there's a chiv on the tzibur, and that the tzibur has such a din, that's unshakable. So now let's look at it a second. We have two gidrei tzedakah. We have a mitzvah es on each individual. Even if the person is living in Yehupitz without a kehillah, he has a chiv to give what he can to whoever needs. And then there's a chiyuv on a tzibur and a kehillah to create tzedakah. I want to understand that the Rambam saw this in the big sugya also. Our Gemara in Baba Basra is not dealing with hilchas tzedakah, really. This starts with a Mishnah. And the Mishnah starts on the first page. There's a progression in the Mishnah of hilchas shcheinim. Meaning, when people share common areas, it creates common obligations. It starts with two people sharing a chatzah. It goes on to a few people sharing a chatzah and building stuff that's royal. And then he says, you force people can be forced to give communal needs, a wall, a guard, etc. Then it says, at what point are you considered as living in the city? Somebody's there for a few months, not considered living in the city. It's a year. And that's the Mishnah. On that, there's a Gemara. I didn't photocopy it. The Gemara asks, and if you're there, if it's for Tamchui, 30 days. For Kupa, a year, 3 months, there's a Shakvataria. And on Omid Beis, the Gemara speaks more in detail about this Chiyuv. So in context of our Sugya, our sugya is not dealing with hilchas tzedakah as the personal chiyuv and as a fulfillment of the mitzvah's essay, the person who says nas and titein, but rather it's speaking about the chiyuv of a tzibur. It is medinei tzibur, medinei kohol, and b'meila, each yochid has chiyuvim because he's part of that tzibur. I think that's where the musig of srara comes in over here. Because on giving tzedakah, that's a halacha. In other words, there's objective halachas that apply all over. So the person either gives a shlish of a shekel, or he gives a meiser or chomesh, be it as it may, and that requires a bezin to do the kfiya, because it's megidrei kaifin al mitzvahs. But when you send around a gabai, the gabai determines the chiyuv. It's kefid aniyim. The tzibur has certain needs, and Chafetz Chaim, already when he speaks in Avos Chesed, he speaks about the chiyuv etzdaka. He says, "Ma'is and chaimish are not etched in stone. L'moshel if there's a pidyon shvuim deke inyan, then there's no limit." Who's the person that's chayiv pidyon shvuim? So if a person can do it all, just like Deimach Sor, if a person can do it all, but once the tzibur is chayiv, you need to make a determination, an assessment, how much each person is chayiv. It knows I need to be kaveh, you chayiv this amount, that amount, and so on. It's not the pshat, let's understand it. Tzedakah, the chayiv starts with my personal chayiv tashem, to be chayiv nosim titun. And Bezin enforces that. That's what the role of Bezin. Bezin is enforcing my chiyuvim vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The chiyuvik of the tzibur is when the bala srara is mechayiv you. Paskin, the word paskin, poiskin letzdaka means you pask in how much a person needs. You assess a person and you say, we have this big in your opinion, Shvuyim, it's $1 million. So you're going to pay X amount, you're going to pay X amount, you're going to pay X amount. That's the chelik of the srara that shayach only to the tzibur. And for that, you need two because you don't have srara pachas. It's not shayach by a yochid. It has no shayach. So yochid has fixed chiyuvim. There's no evaluation. I mean, business, I made, I say, how much would the person, what's his chaymish, what's his maiser, and so on. But masha'in kein. So the Rambam is over here. So the Rambam is learning this sugi mikoyach that. When it says in the Gemara says, my Sherusa, Dharm Nachar of Avulafish, I mean, Mashan al Tztok, if I love Shabbos, is a little schwer. That's talking about the Aloha of Mashan. So I was thinking, if they couldn't enforce it, then it would only be within the realm of Eitzah Toiva. In other words, the fact that Tztok, that when they paskin, that this person is high of X amount or Y amount, then that's the amount that becomes the chiyuv that you're going to force it. That shows me that it's taka srara. But the etzem maisa, the pa'ula of the srara, what is he doing that expresses authority? Is not the actual taking of the money. It's the fact that once he assesses, then the person becomes mechuyev. So let's go let's look at the Rambam again. Let's see how the Rambam would learn that. So the when the Rambam speaks about, take a look at his lashon. Let's go to Hilchas Nachas Perek Yud Aleph, the last Rambam. Hapetropin oisin liktan. So there are two halachas here. First of all, before we see the Rambam, I just want to. It also helps us the way I explained it, lemoshel. It says over here, Kiha, the Rava Akfil Rav Nasim Amir Shlok Me'abam Mezulat Stok. It's hard for me to believe that Rav Nasim Bar Ami was negligent in performing his own personal mitzvah. If we were not to learn it with the way we're approaching it, it means Rav Nasim Bar Ami, who's the Gemara calls Rav Nasim Bar Ami, he's an Amira, he was missing out 400 zuz. In other words, he shortchanged Maisa money 400 zuz. That, how could that be? The way we're explaining it, we're talking about there was a special Maisa tzedakah. They needed to assess each person. How much does he have to give? It wasn't, the kfiya wasn't somebody came and said, you know, Reb Nosser Ba'ami is a millionaire and he doesn't give a nickel tzedakah. And they sent down Rava to make sure he does his mitzvahs. That's not. The pshat is an inyan of tzedakah came up above and beyond the maisa, but it's something that's mechayev to give on the tzibur, like Dei Machsoro, like Pidyon Shvuyim. So they needed to send around, so Rava said, I evaluate you at 400. That's the akfe doesn't have to be they took a stick and beat him to get it. He imposed on him. In other words, that's the imposition because before he came along, there was no chiyuv. When he came along, there's a chiyuv. Let's take a look at the Rambam again. In the last Rambam, Hilchas Nachas Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Yud. Ha-petropin, oisin liktanim, sukalulav. The whole parak over here deals with when somebody passes away and leaves young yisomim, what can you memanin apetropis, and what type of things can you take from the person, and so on. So it says, apetropsin oisin liktanim, sukha velula vetzitzis v'shayif sefer Torah, and so on and so forth. You use the money to help them be mekayim mitzvahs. Chlolo shel dava, kol mitzvahs esei sheish la kitzva, beishim divi termin shedivi seferim oisin lehem. You do want to be mechanech them with the mitzvah of all the mitzvahs, and therefore it is proper to use money that they have Yerusha to buy tashmishi mitzvah. But stocker not poiskalem vafilu pidyon shvuyim neishem mitzvahs elein lam kitzvah. So I think what he's saying is, by ktanim, we don't impose from the outside. Just b'teiras ear, because we, just like paying taxes to the city, I would think that you could actually impose it on them, because paying taxes is something which he owes not, it's not mikoyach mitzvahs only, it's mikoyach dechiyuv. So he says, but you're not posing on the em tzedakah, even pidyon shvuim. You know, it's even if a davar shel tzedakah comes up, because it's enlam kitzva, you don't even do imposing on them, which would be mechayev them. Then he says, but mishen ishtatosh and ischareish, bezin posing of tzedakah mayoroi. But somebody who became a shaiter, bezin can't be posing tzedakah. It's not the pshat. It's not because he's chayiv mitzvahs. He's not chayiv mitzvahs. It's not like the Ktzoy says, because tzedakah is given in a way that's already a chiyuv, because, again, like Rabbi Chanan asks, that chiyuv that's there already it doesn't make sense that I should go without a mitzvah. So therefore, what we're talking about is the city has a right, just like it has a right to impose a tax for water, for building bridges, whatever it is, it has the right to impose taxes for tzedakah. But mainly, also, they have a right to impose that. Let's recap it, and then we'll see one more point. So let's go back to the points we touched on. The Gemara, the point of our sugya here is that you can force a person to give tzedakah, and that's why when you have a kupah shel tzedakah, you have two people that go around and they do the and they collect the money. In that halacha of how you can force somebody to do it, we have two general mahalchim. We have Taisvis and many Rishonim in different variations of they explain how, say that it goes within the framework of forcing a person to be mekayim a mitzvah. The forcing a person to be mekayim a mitzvah is a halacha that's true in all mitzvahs essays. And here also, since tzedakah is a mitzvahs essay, we can impose it on him and mechayev him. There are problems with that, and Tosis asks, it doesn't fit together of a mitzvahs essay that matzchar betzidon, and they have matzchar betzidon, and there are a lot of technical answers to take care of that. But Tosis is mahalach, many rishonim is, it goes with a getter b'kayfana ala mitzvahs. The Ktzois, and the Ktzois sees it in the Kesef Mishnah, who sees it in the Rambam, they would like to understand that the Rambam is learning that the whole mitzvah tzedakah is a very different type of mitzvah. It's the Torah tells you what you owe the aniyim. The Torah placed the debt to the aniyim, and just like you can collect the debt, it has nothing to do with the mitzvah part of it, whether the person is a barchiv or not a barchiv, you collect that also. The problem with that is, Rabbi Chanan asks, it's not mistava that it's something which, without the mitzvah at all, it's a debt. It starts with a mitzvah, and then you could say it's a debt that's been placed on you. But it's very hard to say it that it's just a stam debt, besides which it doesn't fit in many different ways. It doesn't fit that category of shibud nechasim. It's very hard to understand it that way. So that pshat has its problems. We try to offer a different pshat, that possibly the pshat's like this. In the mitzvah of tzedakah itself, there are two inyanim. One is a regular mitzvah essay, and there might be din kfi on that mitzvah essay, and like the Rambam says, also, that's fine. There's a second halacha, and that halacha is there is a communal obligation to be mefarnes aniyim and so on. The reason for it makes a lot of sense in a lot of ways. It's hard. I mean, the Gemara is that a Maram is on it. The exact mucker in a pasuk is hard to be teifis. The Goyim found it in the Gemara. There's no more shorish than a mucker for it. But the Gemara says you now live in a city that there's no kupat stoka. The halacha of de machsoro, according to many of the poskim, is only on the tzibur. The whole mitzias of kupa shel ir is a function of an ear, and it's very clear in the mitzvah the sugya sheboy that's the halacha. It's something which is it's the whole perek over here is dealing with chiyuvei bnei ha'ir klapi ha'ir. When are you a bnei ha'ir? L'mashal, on the mitzvah's essay, let's say a person refuses to put on film, so which business is going to be koy for him? Well, wherever he is, if he happens to be in Texas and there's a bez in Texas and he sees I'm putting on tefillin, I mean, they could be, I mean, not bezman zeh, not at this point, but they would be koyfer. It has nothing to do with what he belongs to the city or not, it's whether he's doing the essay or not. But here the pshat is, it's migidrei chiyuvei b'nei ha'ir, and therefore it's totally at what point to become a member of the ear. And the srara is because the chiyuvei stuck on the ear, how to divide up those chiyuvim. How to make that allocation of the city has to come up with $100,000 for Pidyon Shvuyim. How do we split it up? That's already sure. That's authority. The kfiya we're talking about here is before we hit a person with a stick. But the ability to impose, I want to draw an analogy. It says l'mashal, the bnei achatzah kaifa each other to build a beishar and this and that. We're not talking about they're running around with sticks clubbing each other. It's normally people sit down. If you have shutfin, the halacha is you take a vote. So if there's a decision, five shutfin own a car, what color do you paint the car? The halacha is you would sit down and the roiv would determine. So normally a roiv would determine, do we want a beishar or not? Anyone, ben achatzah has the right to impose his will because it is a genuine need. It's something which he's entitled to. So the word kfiya used in this sense is before. And that's why I'd like to understand the akfe of Rava, that Rava was akfe of Nasba Ami. It means the imposition of the assessment that this is what you're going to owe, this is what you're going to have to give. So for those in Yanim, we have, that's the Srara, and that's the second chelak of it, and that's what the Rambam is dealing with in Perek Tes. This is possible to impose even on somebody who's not a ben mitzvah. It's because it has nothing to do with his das. It is an imposition from Lamala, and therefore it's there also. I wanted to finish off with one more place like that. There's Hilchas Ishus over here. It says a person is chayav. Take a look in Hilchas Ishus Perek Yud Beis. Halacha Tesvav. I want to use the same idea in a little bit of a different context. The halacha is at what age is a person supposed to, for how long is a person supposed to support his children? The Gemara Me'ikar Adin, it's until the B'nai Shesh. If the person doesn't want to, and if the person says he'd like them to be a charity ward, so we yell at them, we scream at them, we make his life miserable till he gives. Tesvav. B'med dvarim amurim, be'ishene omoit. A person who doesn't can't afford it passively. Let's say a person does have enough money. So the Gemara says, so the Rambam says that if somebody has children, and we know that he can afford to give tzedakah, we force him to do this and that also. I want to think a second. What are we talking about here? We're talking about somebody who's not giving tzedakah at all. So I don't need this halacha. Go back to the tzedakah. Bezna should have been in his house way before he had his kids. Bezna should have said, you're making this amount of money, you should give tzedakah. The Teretz is, he's probably being yotzei dechavasa someplace else. He's giving his money someplace else. So Bezna can force him to give it for this and not for this. In other words, there's a kfiya and an imposition of where to give money to. It's not only, in other words, for the Etzim Kimit says is if he sends off the money to Yerushalayim, to very worthy tzedakah, he's Mekayim, his mitzvah tzedakah. But Bezna has the right to force him what to do with it, where to give it. He can't take his children and throw them on the tzibur, and he's not mefarnes them. So mitzvah, the same gather. In other words, the kfiya on the mitzvah is only the person not Mekayim mitzvah essay. But if the person personally is Mekayim mitzvah essay, we wouldn't have this gather of kfiya. It's the same type of gather where we're imposing on him where to give l'mashal, and rather than the etzim chiyuv itself. Just want to shtel too, there's another realm of kfiya that deals with the pratim rather than just the etzim kfiya. I felt this topic was very appropriate because Reveilus Harivach was an extraordinary sense of tzibur, of kohol, of community. It was something where he felt very strongly, and one of the strong things he built was a sense of a tzibur. A tzibur means not only that you happen to have a minyan with a daven, but there's a certain achrayas for people in the community, a certain sense of he was a very discreet person, so we don't know, but he was engaged in an extraordinary amount of worrying of stuckers for people in a very private way because of that sense of achrayis, that there's a chiyuv of tzedakah on a personal level, when a person has means and there's needs, but there's a chiyuv on a tzibur, on a kol, and this was one of his very, very exemplary inyanim and midas.
Boys, please sit down. As the boys are coming in, just to give us a moment now to introduce Rabbi Rosenbaum. Just want to tell you introduce with a story I had with Shiver of Gifters, Zichron Livracha, shared with me many years ago. He was in Eretz Yisrael. Telstone moved to Eretz. They opened the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, Telstone, 1977. While he was there, after he was there a year or two, the members of the Israeli community approached him that he should introduce a younger Shir, a Shir Aleph, into the yeshiva. And he agreed to, and they hired a Rebbe to do that. But at that point in time, he felt that to be able, these Bachrim couldn't relate to the older Bachrim, which all Americans, which had come to Eretz Yisrael. He needed some Israeli Bachrim, some older Bachrim. So he went to Rav Simcha Zitzel Broidy, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, and he asked him if he could borrow for a year some Bachrim from the yeshiva. So Simcha Zisel said to him that, why are you coming to me? I have a large Israeli yeshiva. You think I have so many Bachrim to give you. You don't want Bachrim, you want Talmidim. You think I have a yeshiva with hundreds and hundreds of Bachrim. You want 15 Bachrim. I'm not sure I have 15 Talmidim. But the ones that I have, I will give you. The person to be able to be zeichah, to be a Rosh Hashiva, to be a Rebbe, to have many, many people who heard from him, that's possible. Be zeichah to have Talmidim, that a person who's a Talmud, he defines himself by the Rebbe, that's not an easy source to get. Rebbe Rezuch Livrach, who was zeichah, Baruch Hashem, that he had Talmidim. There's Rabbi Rosenbaum was one of Rabbi Anner's Talmidim, or it's our excuse that Rabbi Rosenbaum is going to address us now with the Rezi Korah.
I just personally, I just must remark on, as an outsider coming in, the beauty of this picture of the Beis Medrash full. How many? I guess members of the Anhala Rabbeim saw over the years, and Rabbeinu Zichrono Livracha would walk into the Beis Medrash, a full Beis Medrash, the glow on his face when he would come in and just see and just look around and gaze a little bit. So it's hard, Baruch Hashem, you have someone such a broad accomplished individual. What's matim to do for your tzeit? It's hard to think of a more matim thing, particularly to open it to members of the broader tzibur, which, as has already been mentioned, was so essential to him. I had the schus to know Rav Einemar. I feel pretty well. And I even had the schus to understand a little bit how people related to Rav Einemar. And during the Shiva, the period after the Shiva, I heard many things said about him, many, many stories that I hadn't known. But very honestly, there were very few comments made of this is how I saw Rav Einemar, that surprised me, that shocked me. I think it was pretty clear. There was one thing that actually one of the Klei Kodesh here from the yeshiva said to me, and I thought it was profound. He heard someone referring to Rav Einemar as a Baal Halacha, Chash V'Posek, a Baal Halacha, and he said to me, he thinks that's dead wrong. I said, what do you mean? You don't think he was a Chash V'Posek? He said, you're wrong. If you call Rav Einemar a Baal Halacha, if you call Rav Einemar a Rosh Yeshiva, if you call Rav Einemar a Rav, you didn't get him. Rav Einemar was a Baal Achrayas. That's what he was. He came to town, and whatever needed to be done, he made it his business to do it. If that meant that he had to become a chashuva individual in psak, of course he came to Washington as a chashuva talmud chacham. But if that meant that he had to build himself in psak, so he had to build himself in psak. If that meant that he had to start a yeshiva, he had to start a yeshiva. If that meant he had to be a rebbe in that yeshiva, he had to be a rebbe. If that meant he had to be holding in hilchos eruvin, eruvin. He had to become a mesader gittin, whatever. But it wasn't that he was X, he was Y, he was a baal achrayus. Just to give a brief anecdote to point it out a little bit. So I remember when I was, I think I was learning for smicha, and this Ravenimer, something came up regarding Hilchos Treifas. And for people who don't know, basic simonim in terms of, let's say, in a chicken or something of that sort, what would be the raya that it would have a certain type of break or something of that sort that would render it non-kosher. Ravenimer confided to me that he stayed up nights, chazering Hilchos Treifas again and again when he first came to Washington. So of course he learned Hilchos Treifas in yeshiva. So he was learning from a Shulchan Aruch. And then he gets to town and there's this butcher who comes, not the chickens from Empire, So there was this butcher who had all these shilas, and we bring them all to Ravenimer. So Ravenimer learned this sugya, learned that sugya, learned that sif, learned that sif. But how in the world does it apply to this thing? So we had to sit up hours on end. That was the achrayus of the moment. You have many chashava marbitzei Torah, tremendous marbitzei Torah, who sit and define themselves. I see myself as this, I see myself as that. And they go and they do it. He figured out what needed to be done, and that's what he became. I was thinking about this. If you talk to enough old-timers and you hear stories, actually particularly for people who were talmidim in yeshiva in the early days, it doesn't seem to fit. You hear stories, countless stories. We remember Ravenimer went out to the baseball field with us at the Chvesnisht. He was sitting there in his lawn chair until it was his turn to bat. You know, you hear stories like that. And it just, you begin to wonder if maybe there was more than one Ravenimer who was a rabbi in Rosh Hashiva here over time, because it doesn't seem to fit. But maybe people develop change over time, of course, but maybe part of the point was he understood what this tzibur needed at different times. And that's what he did. So at a certain tkufa, in order to connect to the young people, he needed to be one thing. And then Baruch Hashem, as the tzibur continued to thrive, he could become more, he always was a chashuv rav, but he could become even more of that, so that's what we as a tzibur needed. And I think specifically this idea, not only of his personal sense of achrayus to the tzibur, but his tremendous koach in inspiring people in this tzibur to take achrayus and to do. I think actually of the many things that we now miss with his absence, I think it's one of the greater things. As I'd like to just share a few stories, impressions about his relationship with people of the tzibur inspiring to do. Some of them I mentioned before also. I was struck when, thank you very much, thank you. I was struck when I was soon after his patira, how many people came to me, people who I did not think were particularly close to him, came to me with a sense of mission. You know, the last conversation I had with Ravenimer was a few weeks ago, and I asked him about something, and he said, "That's a great idea, do it." And they turned to me and they said, "So he really wanted me to do it. So I had to do it." And it was an amazing thing. People all the time. I mean, I'm not close to what he was, but when you have a large community, people all the time come, "We need to do this, we need to do that." It's okay, you explain, you say, "Well, this is what needs to happen, that's what needs to happen." Somehow he was able to infuse people with a sense that they could be the ones to do it. And if you had the idea, if it dawned on you that this was something missing, you are the perfect person. And they didn't take it as some blow-off. They took it as a charge from him. And it's a beautiful thing. Some of these things have been fulfilled after his patira. It's a nice thing. He had such personal regard for those people who he saw as being oskim b'tzarchei tzibur. When you look back, many of us, I'm sure, know a number of individuals who he was very close with. When you look back at the balabatim in the community who he was close with, as far as I'm concerned, they generally fit one of two categories. Either they were past talmidim, if they were past talmidim, or someone in their family was a past talmud, there's a very close bond. Or they were people who were oskim b'tzarchei tzibur. Those were the, just think of individuals who you know of who were close to Rebbe Einemer. they might have been Oskei B'tzor Ketzibur in a public way, might have been in a private way. Those were the people who, more than anyone else, really, he had tremendous regard for, of the Balabatim. He never, at least in recent years, he didn't like to speak by Prism. I used to sit next to him at Prism all the time. He didn't like to speak. It just, whatever. Somebody comes up to him and, people are leaving. You'll speak for a few minutes. It wasn't his chayshik. I countless times I sit next to him and he turned people down when they asked him to speak by Prism. Occasionally would do it, generally not. I think it was in the last year of his life. An individual from the shul, not someone who I saw as being particularly close to him. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he was particularly close to him. And he made a bris, and Rav Einemer absolutely agreed to speak. And it was very obvious to me why. It was one of the gabayim in the shul. A person who's a gabay in a shul, he's a different sug, because he's taken achrayis in the tzibur. And Rav Einemer spoke glowingly, and he spoke of how much hakaras hatov he has for all this person has done for the tzibur. It's a whole different level of achrayis, and himself being a baal achrayis, that spoke to him. To mention something relating to tzedakah, this is a mice I was directly involved with. About 5 or 6 years ago, the Baal Batim of the Shul had a very good idea. Let's assemble a committee to encourage people to become members of the Shul. People don't necessarily think of it, but let's assemble a committee to encourage people to become members of the Shul. And one of the members of this committee had a very basic idea. Everybody gives money for Meiser. So just tell people, hey, this is what shul membership is. Just think of it this way, the Meiser campaign. Include the shul in your Meiser donations and become a member of the shul. You'll be very nice. Meiser, member of the shul, gewaldig. So they understood. I mean, once you mention anything involving halacha, of course you can't just decide yourself. You have to go to the Rav. So he was very, very averse to it. He was very averse to it. So there are two reasons. One issue has to do with how much money you allot. That's a whole shaila, not for now. How much money you can allot towards Meiser, if you benefit from the expenditures, whatever it is, that's one thing. But there was another issue that he was very concerned about. There's halacha by Meiser that if someone is mechuyev, if someone is obligated to give money to a certain cause, it could be the most beautiful of causes. If someone is obligated to give money to a certain cause, they're not allowed to use Meiser money for it. So he said, a person has an achrayas. If you're part of a tzibur, you have to financially connect with the needs of the tzibur. And one of the basic ways of financially connecting with the needs of the tzibur is to become a member of a shul. So how can I tell people that they can use Meiser money for this? And it was so funny, not funny, it was striking, because, here the Baal Batim are. They're coming, Rabbi, we want to increase the shul's coffers. We want to add to the shul's money. Just tell us that it's okay to use Meiser money for it. It was the quote-unquote financially smart thing to do. And finally, after thinking about it for a very, very long time, he came back. He said, fine. Again, how much money you can take from Meiser was a separate shaila. That was a separate discussion. But he said, fine. He guesses in our day and age, it's not an absolute chiyuv to be a member of a shul. The right thing, he certainly felt it was. But it was just, I was so struck by it. He wasn't the type to hem and haw, and I'm sorry, not hem and haw, to agonize over a psak halacha. He wasn't the type for that. He had a shaila, he thought about it, he looked it up, bam, got right back. That was his way. It was days, because it was such a meaningful thing to him. How can I tell people they're not obligated to chip in with the needs of the tzibur? How can I say such a thing? So he finally decided he could say it, but it was a major thing for him. Rav Einemer, he had a tremendous way with words. And as many people know, and I just want to say one, it's a cute line, but there's a lot of chachma in it. I once was at a Vada Rabbanim meeting, and he came in very agitated. It was clear he had just come from something that he was very angry about. And somebody had the guts to ask him what was wrong. And he said, I just got off the phone with someone. They wanted to know why we don't have, it's not important what it was, why we don't have X in our community. And what they said to me was, why don't they do this? So I said, Rav Einemer speaking, I said back to the person, who's they? The people in the community, the people who run the community. Why don't they do this? So Rav Einemer said, he told the fellow, the reason why they haven't done it is because you keep on talking about they and not us. Rav Einemar's way with words. Basic, basic point. I want to just leave you with one last point. As of course we know, Rav Einemar was nifter relatively suddenly. There was no opportunities for him to plan what would happen after his patira. And soon after the shiva, his esteemed Rebbetzin, live on Meiv Asim Shana, called me. She needed me to come over. The primary reason I was coming over, there were some things that she found in his files that she thought I should have. And then she said, I want to ask you one question. There's one thing I need to ask you. Now, anyone who knew them as a couple, they were as one. In other words, the achrayus that he held for the tzibur was absolutely positively shared by his eishes chayil. So looking back at it, I'm very struck. It's almost like, you know, if there was one thing Rav Einemar would have asked about, you know, if he could open his mouth after he was sitting in the hospital, if he could open his mouth to say one thing, like what would he have asked? Make sure X. So just think to yourself one moment, what do you think it was? But maybe she wasn't. So she turns to me and says, I repeat, this is days after the shiva was over. She turns to me and says, has it been arranged for someone to be the Masadar Gittin in town? Has that been arranged? Is that been taken care of? Thinks about such things. That wasn't her husband's even official job. It was just part of one of the myriad things he did. But she knew how important it was to him. She understood how important it was. As an aside, it had been taken care of immediately by the senior rabbanim in the town. But this was achrayus. This was a person who was zocha to lead a tzibur for over 50 years with a sense of achrayus. And those who had the schus to learn from his model and to hopefully internalize it in their own lives are forever enriched. Yei zechor baruch.